Like to talk to us about investing here tonight. Drive to work and I go by places that have a sign out in front that says they work with Edward D. Jones. In fact, I can go to work, go down one street, and I notice that there's a fellow there that is has Edward D. Jones investment accounts there. I guess that's the right terminology. And I can take a different road home and go through town, and there's somebody else that has that's an Edward D. Jones representative. And there's also these people that a company by the name of LPL Financial. They'll do investing for you. And give you counsel. There's another place there in Carthage that's they promote themselves as being local financial advice. And obviously, we can go to most any bank, and they have some kind of investment counselor there. And there are just so many people out there that have a profession. I'm not talking about a spiritual profession. I'm talking about a profession as far as their occupation and what their profession is financial advice and counsel. And the things that you're going to talk to them about, if you work for an employer, they may have a retirement plan, and they may have a 401k available for you. And if you go in and talk to those people, they will talk to you about investing for the future and setting some of your resources aside so that you'll be able to be prepared for retirement when you're not holding a regular job. And they'll categorize their investment opportunities for you in areas like income, they'll call it. That's usually a more conservative investment strategy. And then they may have one that they call growth that maybe has a little bit more risk in it. And then they may have a category that's called high risk. And they generally wouldn't advise anyone that's in their 50s to invest in the high risk category, because the possibility of you maybe losing what you put in there or in not gaining anything is higher. Of course, the possibility of gaining more is higher too. So thinking about your fate, if you go and talk to these people, they ask you all kinds of questions. And when you go away, your mind will just be whirling with facts and numbers and the decisions and directions and everything that you might be faced with to make. Well, tonight, I'd like to talk to us about investing in our spiritual future and our welfare in that respect. I'm reminded of some words of a song that we have in our book, number 481. I'd just like for us to look at the chorus of this song. It says, "Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul." Now, if you would go to the typical investment counselor or advisor The first thing that they're going to tell you is you need to be diversified. You don't want to put all of your eggs in one basket, so to speak. They'll tell you that you want to spread your investments out so that if something starts going down, it doesn't affect the whole thing. And when I start looking at investing our body and soul, that's everything in me. He says here that is your all on the altar a sacrifice laid? Not just a portion of it. The place where I work has a 401k available, and the employer will match half of what I would contribute up to 4%. So the maximum he would put in is 2%. Well, all I've got to put in is 4% to get the employer's 2%. And somebody might have a deal where they could put in 5% and the employer will put in 5%. That'd be a good deal. But that's just 5%. And the song is not proposing that we put 5% in the hands of the Lord. The question it asks is your all on the altar. The whole thing. It says you won't have peace and sweet rest until you yield Him just your body? No, your body and your soul. The whole thing. So the first thing that we find, if we start looking at the counsel of the Scripture and the counsel that I've been given by my spiritual forefathers, is going to run in contradiction to the financial counselors that are out there. They're going to tell you, well, don't put all of your money in stocks. Don't put all your money in bonds. Don't put all your money in this, and don't put all your money in that. Put a little bit in this and that, and it needs to be the right mix to tailor it for what you need and what you're comfortable with. And the song's counsel and the counsel of the generation that's went on before me and the ones that I've heard preach and teach and give me counsel is surrender everything. Give it all to the Lord. Don't hold back anything. Don't keep part of it for yourself. You remember what Ananias and Sapphira did. They wanted the full benefit, but they wanted to keep part of it for themselves. And you remember the price that they had to pay. So I get the counsel from those that went on before me. I believe the counsel's in the Scripture. The counsel's in the songs that we sing. To put your all on the line. Put it all, give it all, surrender it all to the Lord. And I want you to know that I concur with that. I believe that's safe counsel. I believe it's right for us to surrender our whole soul, our mind, our body, to the Spirit of God's control. So, I really want to look at the way we invest our daily lives and the dividends that we can expect. I think that all of us are probably aware that if you invest in something, you're not just looking for the value of the asset to grow, but you're also looking for some dividends along the way. You'd like to have a little pay to go along as time goes on. So I'd like for us to turn to the 55th chapter of Isaiah and notice what the writer says to us here at Isaiah 55. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Ho," or "Hello," or "Hey," get your attention here. "Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And that he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Now, this sounds like a free store. Everything that you would just want, you just go in and pick it up and you can take it home with you. He says here, if you're thirsty, if you're hungry, just come and get it and take it with you. It's all yours without a price. Wherefore do you spend money, he says, for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. So here's the counsel in the scripture. Why are you spending your money? Why are you spending your resources for the things that aren't really satisfying? You know, all of us have in our own control the ability to spend our energies, to spend our resources, to spend of ourselves the way we choose. It is my choice. You know, the place that I work, they have this retirement investment account that's available. And I can participate in it if I want to, but I don't have to either. It's not a requirement. It's not mandatory. There are some people that has worked there longer than I have, and I don't think they participate at all. And I look on and I say, why not? But anyway, we look. The question is, why are you spending your assets? Why are you spending yourself? You know, whether we may think we're saving ourselves for something big, but I realize this more every year. Time is slipping away from me. I'm spending my time. I'm spending my time 1 week, 1 day, 1 hour, 1 minute. It's gone. This morning is gone. Last night is, yesterday is gone. I can't do it over. What I accomplished or didn't accomplish, what I invested in yesterday for my spiritual man, the opportunity to do that over is gone. Yeah. Why am I spending? The question is proposed. Why would I spend our resources for something that doesn't really prosper us? So the question here tonight is, how do we spend our money, our resources, our time? That's my biggest resource, is time. How do I spend who I am, what I engage myself in, what I meditate on? I can choose to meditate on lots of things. I can choose to meditate on good things. I can choose to meditate on the scripture. I can choose to meditate on positive things. I can choose to meditate on the blessings the Lord has sent my way. Or I can spend my resources, my meditations on things that don't do me any good. It says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? May the Lord help us here this evening to think about what I'm investing my time, my meditation, my ability to think and to reason. What am I investing that in? I heard someone, didn't think this, I heard someone say just recently that the thief or the criminal thinks and studies sometimes the hardest of anyone of how to accomplish the task that they want to accomplish. Instead of going out and being engaged in something that would provide an honest income, they work harder at trying to figure out how to take something that doesn't belong to them. So I ask us a question here. Isaiah, the prophet, presented this thought, and I'd like to take what he presents. He's talking about accepting Christ when Christ comes. Christ, we live in the dispensation of the New Testament. Christ has come and paid the price. We can seek the Lord. He can be found today if we will respond to His dealings. And the question is, to me, is the direction I'm going with my investment of my energy and my resources. Is it the place? Is it the where I want to go? And then I'd like for us to turn to Revelations, the third chapter, thinking about what I'm investing in. Revelations, the third chapter. This is after Jesus has ascended, obviously, and He is speaking to the Apostle John in his visions and giving him a real revelation of future events to John. And begin reading in verse 14. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Speaking about God, the Creator here. He says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." If we're investing in the wrong thing tonight, it's time to change. It's time to repent. It's time to move and adjust our scope. It's time to change the direction that we're investing in. And the counsel here is to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Today, many people invest in literal gold. And there is those that sell the gold that make a big deal about advertising, about investing in gold, and how that precious metals is the thing to invest in when there's instability in currency and instability in all of this. The thing to do is to buy you some gold and tuck it away somewhere. That's their plan. That's their investment strategy. And Jesus is telling John in the vision here to buy me gold tried in the fire. What's he talking about? Is he talking about literal gold that can be dug out of the ground? Surely we know better than that. He's not talking about that. He's talking about something else. He's talking about the gold in the Scripture that is the pure spirit of Christ. Not just something that kind of looks like gold. I read something about someone that there's a particular place out west in the United States where some guys come in and they set up like they were going to do some gold mining, and there really wasn't any gold in that area. But some people thought they had found gold, and these two guys, I think it was, come in and they set up a pretty elaborate stake, I guess, and began to mine gold. And they brought a whole bunch of iron pyrite in. Now, y'all know what that is. And they had done something to it with some kind of chemical that kind of made it appear much more like gold than it really was. Now, iron pyrite is, you've probably all seen it looks like gold little flecks on usually quartz or something like that. And it's not really gold, but it kind of looks like it. So they had harvested a bunch of this and maybe kind of acid washed it or done something, and it really looked like gold. And they had it all accumulated and brought it in to the place that would buy gold. And they sold, probably 100 years ago, I don't know, it's been a long time ago or longer, they brought it in and sold $50,000 worth of what they said was gold. Well, the people that bought it paid $50,000 for iron pyrite that might have been worth $5. I don't know. It wasn't worth hardly anything. And you know what these fellows did? They left. They got their $50,000, and that would be a lot of money today if it was in today's dollars. I don't know what the... But they left, and since that time, because they tricked the people that were buying gold so badly, they have set up some kind of test facility in that town. I believe Boise, Idaho is actually where this... And it's still in... operation today. If you mine something and you think it's gold, that's the place to go. They can tell you for sure if this is really gold or not. So that's fool's gold is not what Jesus has counseled here. He's talking about the genuine spirit of Christ is what he's talking. He says, come, he said, my counsel of you is to buy, to invest in buying gold that's been tried in the fire, something that has been tested, something that has been proved, something that has been analyzed, and it has been verified. This is the real thing. So I'm counseling us tonight to buy of the real spirit of Christ. And he says not only that, but that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. White raiment. It's a clothing that's fully covered. It's pure. It's very apparent that it's clean or it's not. You know, if you try to put on a pair of if you have some white clothes on and you're clothed from head to toe in white, and you aren't extremely careful, it will get soiled very, very quickly. That's the main reason I don't like to wear a white shirt, or I don't know if I've ever had a pair of white pants. It would just be a disaster for me to wear something like that. But he's not talking about literal clothes here. He's talking about being clothed with pure salvation. Not some smudged up, off-white, yellowed, disfigured, kind of, sort of, form of. He's talking about the real thing. He says, be clothed in white raiment that thy nakedness do not appear. Nakedness has, every sense... the fall, nakedness in the garden is what I'm talking about. Nakedness has been associated with evil. And he says, cover yourself with salvation, a pure salvation, to where those that's looking on won't see the nakedness, the sinfulness of mankind's nature. We can only be clothed and cover that nakedness with true salvation. That's what we need to invest in. With that gold tried in the fire. With white raiment that will cover the sinful nature of mankind. Not just cover it and disguise it, but cleanse us from it. From the sinful nature. he says also... up there above this, on in this verse he says, thou mayest be clothed in the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. So not only is his challenge for them to invest in the Spirit of Christ in pure salvation, but he says, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might see. Now, I don't believe that John... I don't have any reason to believe that John was blind. I don't have any reason to believe that he couldn't see to write, because the scripture in Revelation tells in several places for him to write something down. All right? So, but Jesus was telling him not only for his sake, but for specifically here, the church at Laodicea, to anoint their eyes with eye salve that they might see. Don't believe that the congregation at Laodicea was a blind congregation. I think he's talking about anointing our spiritual eyes that where we might have a vision. In Proverbs it says, without a vision, the people perish. But he says here, anoint your eyes. This is something to invest in. To be able to have a spiritual vision that Christ wants to give us. So I ask us tonight, are we spending our intellect, our desires? You know, desires is something that you spend. Have you ever noticed that you can spend your desires on something for a while, and whether you get it or not, what you want, your desire changes? You ever notice that? There were things that I desired as a small child that I don't desire them anymore. That desire's been spent. There's desires that I have now that maybe down the road won't really be important to me. But you know, more important than that, what are we spending our desires for our soul, for our inner man? Are we spending it for the gold tried in the fire? Are we spending it for that white raiment? Are we spending it for the eye salve, that where we can have a real clear vision? Our eyes consecrated for a vision of what God would like to do in our hearts and in the lives of mankind. Is that what we are invested in? I think about the things that I've invested in over time and accumulated in my life. How many of us would like to have all of the clothes that we ever purchased? Or all of the shoes you ever purchased? I've got this habit that I've developed here in the last few years that I'll wear my old work shoes until they get to where I got to have another pair. Most recently, it was back during cold weather, and my shoes that I wear to work was the sole was starting to come loose, and there was a thread in the side that was coming loose, and the shoe was kind of gapping over. It was getting pretty dilapidated, and when I would walk, the bottom of the sole would kind of slap, you know, when you step. And it got to where I was getting my socks was getting wet if I stepped on some snow or in a mud puddle or something. I said, I got to do something. I can't wear these any longer. So I went into the place that sold, I want some more just like these because they've been good shoes for me. So I went in there and got some more work boots. And so I found the ones that I wanted, and I put the new ones on and I put the old ones in the box. And I take them up there to the cashier, and I pay. Their habit is, you know, they scan it, and then they open the box, and they always look inside, and they see your old shoes, and I say, you can have them, box and all. I don't need any of them. And I walk out with my new shoes on, and they can put the old ones in the trash can, and I go out with just the same amount of baggage as I came in. I don't need those old shoes. But I can picture how big a room. No, I can't really. If I had a room at my house and it just had all of my old work shoes that I had wore to the point that I couldn't wear them any longer, and I just put them on shelves and stacked them around that room, you know, we wouldn't want that. I think about the other things that I've invested in, accumulated. Today, we were getting some flowers cut and set up there at the cemetery and mom and dad's grave. And I just noticed that the two pairs of pliers that I had with me, both of them were my dad's pliers. They were something that been around a long time. And especially the one pair of pliers, I remember as a small boy, dad bought them, and the little rubber grip came off of them and off of the handles. So dad fixed it by finding a piece of garden hose that would slide up on there, put about 2 or 3 inches of garden hose on each one of those handles, and that was a new rubber grip on those pliers. You know, I like those kind of accumulations. And I want to keep those. But even more important than that, I want to keep the things that I have got and gained in my spirit and in my soul. I think about the training we've had. Some of you have a number of college credit hours, spent a lot of time in classrooms. And the other day I pulled up my training record there at work and printed it off. 13 pages. 358 classes over 27 years. Some of those are 2 hours long. Some of them was 5 days long. That's quite an accumulation.
Yes.
What about my soul? You know, it took me 27 years to accumulate 358 classes. What have I done for my soul in the last 27 years? Have I spent time on a regular basis? You know, one of the things that they'll tell you at the financial counselor, advisors, consistent investing is the biggest secret.
Yes.
Putting a little bit back each week, each month, each year, whatever it is, that's the secret. You know the secret of gaining spiritually is consistent investment in the Word.
Yes.
And in spending time. If you go a week, you're going to lose some ground.
Yes.
You go a few days, it's going to be hard to get back on track. You go a year, you may need to start over. How consistent are we investing? You know the dividends that we get on a daily basis. It's more than just saying, oh, I've accumulated 358 classes over the last whatever many years. It's more than that. It's more than saying I can quote scriptures. I know where some verses are. I may not be able to quote it, but I can find it for you without a concordance. I know where that's in Mark or that's in Matthew or that's in Proverbs. I know where I can find all that. You know, that's a good investment, but there's dividends that go along with that. As we begin to dig into the Word and we begin to read on a regular basis, as we begin to offer up our prayers, as we invest our time, our energy, our abilities, the assets that we have, our desires. You know, we could invest our desires in something for us and then our desires are going to change. Or we can invest our desires in getting closer to the Lord. And there's going to be a dividend that comes along. We're going to open up the scripture where we was been reading for a while. And all of a sudden, the words come alive to us on the page. And it meets the need that I have today. That's a dividend. That's something that pays me something right now. And later on down the road, if somebody is struggling with something, we can pull out of our investment account and say, no, Lord, tell you to look. Go turn and look at this scripture. That's been a comfort to me. I was going through a difficult time and the Lord revealed it all to me. He opened the scripture up to me. He caused me to be blessed by these verses. So I'm asking us today, what kind of investment strategy do you have? I'd like to end with a couple verses here in Isaiah, the 28th chapter. Go back over here to Isaiah chapter 28. And I want to look down here about verse 9. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Someone that is beginning to show the signs of maturity. That's who he's going to teach knowledge to. If you're starting over, it's hard to get a nest egg built up. But who's he going to teach knowledge to? Who's he going to teach wisdom to? Those that have gone beyond the milk. Those that have gone on being nurtured and taken care of for everything. He says, who's he going to teach this to? And verse 10 says, for precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. You know, sometimes we want to save up, literally speaking, and we want to invest maybe $100 or $1,000 or something like that, and we want to watch it turn into $100,000 in 30 days. That kind of sensation is what the casinos thrive on. You know, the casinos aren't an investment strategy. They're not a place for you and I to go and make investments in to try to help us in our old age. That's not the place to go. You know, there may be some, you hear all kinds of advertisements. You see them on the billboards. It pays to play. More cash here than any, whatever. You've seen it all. You've heard these kind of things. But that's not the place for financial investment. You know, you may think that I just need a place to go with my soul, to where I can go in and take a wheelbarrow load and I'll be set up for life. You know, unfortunately, it don't work that way spiritually either. Who is he going to teach knowledge to? Who is he going to make into pillars in the church of God? Those that are starting to show signs of maturity. Those that have been weaned. Those that are starting to eat solid food. Those that are able to add precept upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. You know, of all those classes that I've taken over the years, you know that a lot of them are prerequisites for the others. You know, if you sign up for some kind of advanced electronics class, they won't let you in unless you've done the basic classes. They won't let you into advanced drivability or automatic transmissions or anything like that if you don't do the basic hydraulics and the basic mechanical. You don't do the fundamental classes, you won't get to the advanced classes. So I wonder, are we willing to invest precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little? And we feel like that all we're doing is one line at a time, one little concept at a time. One little, just a little. You know, a little is not very much.
No, not.
A little.
That's true.
You know, what does the scripture teach us about faith? If you have faith as a watermelon seed, as a peach seed, it don't say that, does it? There's bigger seeds out there. I don't know what the world's biggest seed is, but it's bigger than a peach seed. He didn't say any of that. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. If you have, you know, Moses didn't have an arsenal of weaponry and an entire army at his disposal when God called him. He said, Moses, what do you got in your hand? And he said, a rod. You know, most of us have a rod out here. A rod was exceptionally common for the men in Moses' day and in his environment. Everybody had a rod. Oh, I got a rod. And the Lord took that. I don't know what we've all got, but we all got something.
Yes, that's true.
A precept.
Yes.
A line. A little. And the Lord wants to take that and add a little bit to it. He wants to add a concept to it, a precept to it. He wants to add another line to it. We've heard about those that went out to a place of prayer over and over again. The same, and every time they picked up a rock along the way. Some kind, not a big rock, but they went there and took something with them and put that rock on a pile. And over the course of time, there was this huge mound of rocks there. And how does that get out here? Well, here's where I come to pray. And I brought a rock out here. How do you get to be a pillar in the church of God? What are we investing in and what's our strategy? Are we looking for the big dump truck load? Are we looking for the wheelbarrow load? Are we willing to take what's in our hand and invest it for the Lord? We must be willing to invest in the lines that He sends our way, in the precepts that He sends our way. Investing in knowledge of God is a lifetime endeavor. It's not something that we just start out and win the big one, win the lottery, and then we're set up. Knowledge is gained. It's built up on previous knowledge. I think of the knowledge that we all can accumulate in our line of work. And when someone else comes along, it's like, how did you know to do that? How did you understand how that would work? I don't know how you done that. Well, it's because there's been knowledge accumulated. And it doesn't matter what line of work it is. It could be something totally foreign to me and totally foreign to you. And you look on, how did they do that? It looks like an amazing feat. It's because they've invested. And how do we get to the place where others and where we can be a blessing to our own families? It's by investing. My real burden tonight is not if you're willing to invest everything. You know, it's not hard to invest everything if you don't have much. And that's how the Lord wants us to start out. He wants us to just take us like we are, give it all to Him, and let Him add line upon line. You'll be surprised at the dividends that you get along life's way. You'll be surprised at the blessings that the Lord will reveal to you. And then look at the retirement plan. As the old saying is, it's out of this world, isn't it? Well,